All human wisdom lies in these two words. Wait and hope.
The Chateau D for 13 years.
And everywhere else you could imagine.
Did you suffer?
I'm not the only man who started out with such promise. Edmond Dantès, captain of the Pharaon, now captain of nothing.
You are richer than any man I have ever known. What do you want to buy?
A man washes ashore, battle-worn and weary. He's not the boy full of promise.
Kings to you, Fernand. How did I escape? With difficulty. How did I plan for this moment with pleasure?
I suppose a simple apology won't suffice, will it?
I'm a count, not a saint. How could you ever call me your friend? You cast me into hell!
Well, in any case, noble blood runs through my veins, and it will never run through yours.
The function of man is to live, not to exist. I shall not waste my days trying to prolong them. I shall use my time. Why do we so often feel like we're wasting our lives? I used to think that I was the only person who suffered from this condition ever since my late teens. I would occasionally fall into this malaise, this sadness, this feeling of dread, like, ah, I don't know, I'm not doing enough, but I don't know exactly what I should be doing. It's like you're worried that there is another timeline version of you, like an alternate reality, where you're much more perfect, you're much more in line with your ideals. And so that version of you has done more of the right things, and they haven't let these goals, these ambitions, these experiences slip through the cracks. Whereas you have, because you're human, you're less than perfect, and you've messed up. For this video, I became curious if I could get rid of that feeling for 2 weeks and instead feel a deep sense of accomplishment. So I sat down one day and I journaled, like, why do I sometimes feel like I haven't done enough? And I have to acknowledge that one of my biggest bottlenecks to this feeling of accomplishment is me not following through on a long-held ambition of mine. It's been my dream, really forever, to make a movie, to at least make a short film. It's an Irish love story that I'm actually really passionate about and I've brought up multiple times on my channel. And yet I've never really followed through on this project. And I would tell myself, well, you know, one day when I become a millionaire or when I've got a bigger audience or I'm a better filmmaker, I'll finally make this movie because then I'll be ready for it. I want to do it justice. I don't want to mess this project up. But it's been years and years. And I haven't even started. I'm gonna finish this screenplay and I'm gonna do it within the confines of this video. And alongside this journey, I wanna talk about a handful of ideas that I'm working on, that I'm wrestling with, to basically feel accomplished, to feel satisfied with what is being done each day. So here's how not to waste your life. The first idea that I find very interesting or useful is actually testosterone. I often find it easy to start wrestling with what I'm working on through my physiology. And lately I've been doing a lot of reading on testosterone and how it makes you feel and its importance. And it turns out it's like deeply important for basically killing overthinking. Our brains really are like these anxiety inducing machines. Your brain will produce these thoughts that make you annoyed or upset, really just to keep you alive. It's just like a survival mechanism. It's often very useful to not be happy and not feel satisfied. And so our brains are constantly producing these thoughts that really aren't necessary. And as I reflected, I realized the times in my life where I felt most satisfied with myself, satisfied with my progress, is when I've just been really energetically rich, when I felt charged up.
If you want it, you got it. If you want it, baby, you got it. Just supposed to move.
When your testosterone levels are high, it's like you feel this immediate hunger for life itself. You feel like you're on the hunt. And so you find yourself not reflecting that much. It's like when I feel really juicy and alive and energetic and alpha, it's just like that aggression is racing through me. I feel like the sense of just vitality oozing through me. I don't really worry about where I've been. I just focus on like this immediate hunt, the game of life that is before me. And so I've actually been working really hard on a handful of protocols and trying to follow them more consistently to feel more immediate in life. And the things that I've been practicing are eating 4 eggs every night, having a tablet of cod liver oil in the morning and in the evening, trying to get 7 to 8 hours of sleep every single night, spending an hour shirtless in the sun because I realized that your vitamin D production actually has a huge effect on how much testosterone you produce. And then lastly, working in public places, literally being out and about in public. In fact, many of the times where I've taken my shirt off to try to get like more sun on me and get more vitamin D. It's been in public places in this last season of my life. And it feels kind of funny because I have a relatively okay physique now, which is a very new thing. So I feel kind of uncomfortable with like just presenting myself. But when you put yourself in public places, and especially when you put yourself in the company of other people who are also working on goals, it does invoke a sense of competition in you, and it does make you feel like you need to be present for life. You need to be presentable in life. Because the first place to start when it comes to killing overthinking or killing like any sort of regret, any kind of malaise you feel, it isn't actually with your thoughts. You can't outthink the thoughts you're thinking. Really, the place to start is with your physiology. Principle two is to ask yourself, what bubble would be easy to burst? I like to think about goals as little bubbles or little spheres of energy. And some bubbles are much tighter, much harder than others. So for instance, maybe you want to direct a feature film with a budget of $100 million. You know, the mid-budget drama is something that I would love to do. Now, that goal, that little sphere of energy is very tight. It's like this deeply pressurized circle of just like granite or marble or stone. It just will not swell open and burst because I'm nowhere near that goal. And so it's not at all achievable for me based off my current skill set and experience. But there are always goals in your life that are accessible. They're like the low-hanging fruit goals that you could go after that would still be interesting. So one thing I've noticed of late is that my weighted chin-up is going really well. I'm finally no longer in a calorie deficit. I'm resuming a bulk. So my energy and my strength has slowly been increasing. In fact, in the last week, I added 10 pounds to my weighted chin-up. So I came up with this goal of actually working towards a 75-pound weighted chin-up for 5 reps. It's not like crazy strength, but 75 pounds is a relatively respectable amount of weight to be pulling off the ground, you know? And my confidence in being able to achieve that goal is very high. And so if I add that pressure, you know, by August, I can hit this goal and cause that bubble to burst. And what happens when you achieve a goal that is achievable, when you follow through on some objective that may not be the main objective, the thing you want the most, but it's still possible, it creates like a circle of energy, like this little mini explosion onto all the goals that are right next to it. And so what does a 75 pound weighted chin up mean? Well, it signifies a little bit more strength. Maybe my upper body would be slightly more powerful. Maybe my back, my biceps would look slightly better, slightly more defined. Is that going to change my life? No, but it's going to allow some bubble right next to it to be slightly more achievable. It's like that energy bounces into the next bubble, the next little ball of energy, and causes those balls to expand a little bit. And so you slowly find yourself working towards your main goal. But when I feel stuck, or especially if I feel like the regret of wasted time, I sort of come back to this idea of saying, okay, damn, maybe I did lose some years of my life. Maybe some stuff isn't possible, but you know what? I can at least get a 75 pound weighted chin up. Sure, it's not as cool as making a movie, but damn, it's something, and something I can definitively do. I often feel this way with a lot of my YouTube coaching clients because a big part of my business model and just life these days is working with other creators to grow their YouTube channels. Oftentimes their biggest goal is growing their channel. But I usually tell them, like, trying to grow your YouTube channel directly and setting that as a goal is kind of like trying to date the hottest girl you can possibly think of. Like, you could pursue the girl directly, but it's a lot easier to just work on the surrounding disciplines that make you attractive. And then your life in chasing that girl or chasing that YouTube success, it becomes a little bit easier. So in fact, if you want to grow on YouTube, one of the best things you can do is have goals that are completely unrelated to it and then just work on those goals. In fact, I see this all the time, even with the Captain Sinbad channel. Sometimes I'll see a comment, you know, someone telling me, oh, Captain Sinbad fell off. People say these things as if I don't read them or as if, you know, they don't affect me. Whereas the truth is I do read all the comments, and the mean ones affect me, like they make me feel sad. And part of what makes me sad is that they are probably right to at least a little bit of a degree. I mean, keeping a career online in social media, it requires you to reinvent yourself every 5 months. So if you're not doing that, and if you're not consistently working on yourself and improving yourself, it's very easy to seem like you fell off. So the key then is to focus your efforts on the bubbles that are actually easy to burst. If the main goal you want to pursue feels unbreakable, that bubble is hardened up like a rock, then open up your mind. Pay attention to what is possible. That might be a fitness goal, it could be creative, it could be social, it could be any number of things. In fact, I would invite you to pause this video and reflect on what bubble you could possibly burst right now. You know, what goal is achievable? It may not be the most exciting thing, but what's achievable? When you achieve what is possible, that creates a burst of energy that just loosens up all your other goals. Principle three, 10x is easier than 2x. but only if you commit to becoming a maverick. The last book I read is this book titled 10x is Easier Than 2x. To be honest, it was kind of like a middling, mediocre read. It was very generic in a lot of its elements. But after reading it, I did have to acknowledge and accept the fact that this is actually a true principle. It often is easier to focus on a 10x breakthrough rather than a multiple of 2 or even something like a 10% increase. And that's because when you think about your goals or your overall ambitions 10 times bigger than what you're currently doing, it forces you to be creative because you can't solve that new problem with your current skill set and mindset. If you wanted to 2x your goals, you could just double what you're doing, you know, like just grind. But you can't really grind your way to 10x, you know, you have to start being more creative. What I've come to realize, especially in the space of being an artist, a creative, really any kind of creative business person, is that 10x is most accessible when you tap into your own genius. And I genuinely do believe that a lot of people have this genius inside them. I mean, creativity is nothing more or less than synergizing things that maybe are unrelated or shouldn't make sense together. But in your creative mind, you're able to combine various ideas into something new. It's very hard to recognize and then finally act on your own genius, but it is that genius within you that could lead to 10x results. And I created my own 4-step model on how to tap into your own genius, your own sense of being a maverick. It's called ERT, because it's not that elegant, okay? So the first idea is to eliminate. Going for 10x requires letting go of 80% of your current life, going all in on the crucial 20% that's relevant and high impact. So yeah, everyone knows Pareto's principle at this point, but what you often don't realize is how much in your life creeps in that isn't part of the 20%. So you periodically have to go back and look at your process and see, hey, what should I not be doing right now? The first place to start is actually to eliminate the things you should not be doing. Naval Ravikant once said, it isn't 10,000 hours that creates outliers, it's 10,000 iterations. You need to double down, triple down on the iterations on the system of things in your career that work, that matter. The second part of the model is to recognize. Recognize your own voice. In other words, you need to appreciate what you appreciate. Man, maybe it's because of childhood conditioning or a whole multitude of forces. People don't often recognize or appreciate that what they like, what they're interested in, what they're drawn to, others will as well. Maybe you like acting or choir music or coding in Python. You need to recognize the things that speak to you, because the things that you're inherently interested in are like your competitive advantage. They're your area of focus where you can actually have an impact. So the only way to stand out or become indispensable is to be different. You need to pay attention to the things you like. Pay attention to the things that you find valuable. The third idea then is to revise. James Clear once said, the difference between good and great is often an extra round of revision. The person who looks things over a second time will appear smarter or more talented, but actually is just polishing things just a bit more. Take the time to get it right. Revise it one extra time. It's at this point that I want to take a quick pause to talk about the Captain's in Bed YouTuber Coaching Academy. I bring this up now because script writing and revising your scripts is one of the most important aspects of the content creation process, but most creators don't actually spend that much time on their scripts. In fact, many creators who are even big, who are successful, have reached out to me, and when I've looked at their channels, I can see and acknowledge that they rush through so many elements of the creation process that are deeply important. If you're someone who's a YouTuber, how much time do you spend writing words that matter, writing scripts that matter? How emotionally connected, authentic, precise, accurate, and true are your scripts? If you don't know how to write scripts well, if you don't know how to articulate your thoughts in a very true sense, it's very hard to grow as a YouTuber. Additionally, there's just so many elements of the creation process that are overlooked by most content creators. And the way the algorithm works is that if you improve on any of the metrics of YouTube success, your views will 10x. In fact, this idea of 10x being easier than 2x is most relevant on YouTube, because when you improve anything by even 10, 20%, that change in perceived quality, whether it's the quality of your thumbnail, the quality of your script, or just in the execution of the edit, when that quality goes up across the board on the things that matter, views go up dramatically. In fact, it was MrBeast himself who said, the difference between the million view video and the video that gets just 50,000 views, honestly, it's not that much. It's just an extra round of revision. It's just making things 10 to 20% better. And also importantly, thinking like a maverick, trusting yourself. So if you're someone who wants to grow to 100,000 subscribers on YouTube and beyond, and on top of that, build out a robust business model, a business backend that makes sense for your channel so that you can also basically become a full-time YouTuber, a full-time content creator, make a great living off the platform, sharing your own ideas and experiences. There's an application form in the description box. You can apply for coaching with me today. It is a very selective process. We only take on 10 to 12 people per cohort of the academy. So we actually are not able to let everyone in, But the number one quality that we look for when people apply is just that desire to grow. The people who have gone through my program in the past, who have just been the most consistent and most desirous for YouTube success, they work on their channel day in and day out, even if it's just 60 to 90 minutes, those people do eventually get great views and great results. The final idea in this model, the ERT model, is trust. Trust that your hunches, the things that speak to you, will also speak to other people. Believe that the things you like, the things you find valuable, other people will find the execution of that valuable as well. And then most importantly, trust yourself when you make a plan around that model. So for instance, for me, every Sunday I get on a group call with my entire team, my business partner, our operations manager, my videographer, my second shooter, and our locations manager. Ultimately, it's a team of six, including Thomas. And at the forefront of everyone is me. It's a lot of fucking pressure, honestly, you know, like having all these people who revolve their weeks around what I say. I often feel very nervous. And I was talking to my business partner Manoj about this the other day. I only know what I'm doing around 30 to 40%. I am 30 to 40% sure of the path ahead. But when I make plans with my team, I speak as if I am 100% confident. I speak as if the timeline I give, the things I'm going to execute on, what we're working on, what clients we're taking on, even the loose trajectory for the company for the next 5 months, I speak as if I know exactly what I need to do and what I need to do with the team, even though I don't. I'm pretending based off what I know today, and I am moving forward with the plan based off what I know, and I am just faking this utter confidence. Now you might say, well, you should get more confident, you know, you should get more clarity, get more assuredness. But the nature of doing new work or pursuing new goals is that the landscape ahead of you is always a little bit foggy. Even with the screenplay, for instance, I don't even know if I'm that good. That's one fear I have. I don't know if I'm a good director. I don't know if I actually have any talent when it comes to writing stories and bringing something bigger budget to an audience. It might just be that I end up wasting $20,000 or $30,000 making this thing that ends up being terrible. In fact, I have a fear that that is exactly what is going to happen. But if you have an instinct, your best bet is to trust yourself with it. The last idea is you should write often. You might not realize that you are currently in the middle of a breakthrough. The nature of our lives, and especially for anyone who lives with any sense of ambition, is that you always end up looking ahead. And so you're always looking out into this further trajectory, and you never really stop to reflect on who you are today. It's honestly one of the reasons why successful people become successful. You know, it's as Alex Hormozi once said, if he wants something, he's basically making a pact with himself to be miserable until that thing is accomplished. But it is only when I write and I reflect on my writing that I realize, oh, I've actually been in the middle of a breakthrough all this time, but because I've been so forward thinking, I didn't even realize it. For example, today, I feel, you know, relatively financially mediocre. Like I feel financially kind of like whatever, successful, but not that successful. And if I compare myself now, compared to me just a couple years ago, I'm in a dramatically better financial position. Tim Ferriss once said, writing is the cheapest form of therapy. Sometimes we just need to put the word to the page to recognize how far we have come, to reconsider what we believe in, and to forge a bold and bloody path forward. For my own part, I'm making the decision. Even though I'm not fully confident, I am deciding that my path forward lies with cinema. It lies with filmmaking, lies with storytelling. Regardless of my own doubts or insecurities, especially with this screenplay, whether or not it hits, I'm going to make this movie. Like, I'm going to make my movie that I've been dreaming about for years and years. I'm going to make it this year. You're going to see me get it done in the next 5 months. And for those of us who continue to bring the narrative of our lives to its next impressive chapter, to us I say, greatness is coming.